Welcome to the All-Star Missions Podcast. My name is Peggy Nunley, and I'm the president of All-Star Missions. And I am so excited that you are here today. All-Star is a discipleship ministry, and we specialize in everything discipleship and everything missions. We love doing Jesus ministry in every nation, tribe, and tongue. And my prayer today is that you are blessed by today's discussion. Welcome back. I'm so glad that you've decided to join us today. We never want to take for granted you taking time out of your day to meet with us. Today's going to be very special. It is an interview of Kim Spence Mullins with His Story Speaks and me, Peggy Nunley. And we're going to be talking about a really hard subject. And I just want to prepare you, even before you begin, that, just buckle your seatbelt, because this is going to be a subject that anyone that's listening is going to affect you. We're going to be talking on the fight for freedom and forgiveness. And many of you listening today may not even realize how powerful unforgiveness is, but unforgiveness and offense is really dominating our culture. We are seeing, even as cancel culture rises to the top in the church, we're recognizing so many that get offended at such small things. In fact, this generation, I feel like, seems to be one that is easily offendable. And the fight of our life right now is that we would be a people that are unoffendable, that we recognize that because we belong to Jesus, because we are Christian, because we want the cross to triumph, that we really have no grounds for offense. And so today, as you listen, I pray that if there's any place in you where you're struggling, first of all, I want you to know you're not alone, that all of us have been offended, all of us have been hurt, all of us have had injustice that has come across our table. And we've experienced things that are unfair and not right. And in no way do I want to minimize that today. However, I do recognize that so often those small little things become traps of the enemy to keep us from the purpose that God has for us. And so I pray as you listen today that you are able to really dive in and just ask the Holy Spirit to really examine your heart. And if there's any place in you where you are wrestling with unforgiveness, I pray today that you're given the tools you need to stare that in the face and really dismantle the power of the enemy in your life. The lies he tells us are just that, they're lies. And there is truth that will set us free. And when we step into obedience to the truth with the knowledge of the Word of God deep in our heart, we are able to conquer the lies and the injustices that happen inside us emotionally and mentally, sometimes physically. But being able to overcome is a part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you, as you take a listen today, listen with open heart for the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do in us. Forgiveness is not just me saying I forgive.
Yeah.
Sometimes you labor in asking God to remove offense. Mm. You know, this isn't on here, but this last year, you know, kind of the, and I think I shared already about with my mom, mm-hmm. when the pastor's wife came to me and just really exposed my unforgiveness, mm-hmm. because I was really blinded to it. I think sometimes we're blinded by offense. Mm-hmm. And so forgiveness, we say, well, I forgive, that forgiveness is a choice. Mm-hmm. It is a choice, mm-hmm. but it's more than a choice. I think forgiveness is a surrender to right. Mm,
that's good.
It's a surrender to the prosecution of the offender. Mm-hmm. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? Like it is this surrender of.
It's a really good way to word that.
Of the outcome.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that you're going to have this perfect story of reconciliation.
Right.
It doesn't mean that it's really you coming to grips. Honestly, what I've discovered the last year, this is kind of a journey that I've been on those that have deeply wounded, offended, betrayed, and disappointed me. Mm-hmm. is I created an enemies prayer list. And all of those that were slandering me on Facebook, all of those that were writing pastors saying don't work with her in this ministry, those that were calling me a heretic, I wrote out their names, and I wrote out, because we're to bless our enemies, right? We're to bless our enemies. It's really hard to write blessings on those that are cursing you in the moment. Yeah. But I began to ask God to bless their families, to bless their marriages, to bless their finances. But I did ask God to expose their hearts. And then I asked the Lord to forgive me for where I was holding them to judgment, where He was not holding me to judgment. And I began this practice of taking the Lord's Supper every time I prayed for them. So before I would pray for them, right? Because when we take the Lord's Supper, right? You're wow. it's a holy moment.
Yeah.
And this is the way that I was raised. Before you do that, you better check all your boxes. Yes. You better make sure that every part in you has been laid out, and that you, to your knowledge, you're not in any place actively in sin.
Right.
Because the judgment of God is upon those that would partake of that in sin. So I've always been scared of the Lord's Supper, because I'm like, God, are you sure? Like double check, any hidden place. I confess, even if I don't know what I'm confessing, I confess it. I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I'm bad. And your blood has covered me, but God, give me clean hands and a pure heart, and don't let my mouth speak falsehood. And I would always pray those things before I would take the Lord's Supper. And I had watched a video of a minister that had really been ran through the mud and shared about how he took the Lord's Supper before he prayed for his enemies. And so I thought, I'm going to try it. And I thought, well, I'll just get myself right, and it'll be easy to pray for them. It broke me. I found myself weeping for their deliverance more than I was praying for against my injustice. And when I began to look at the wickedness of my own heart and the places where I had doubted God, misunderstood God, held things against God, relationships that, I mean, God was showing me where I exaggerated things and I had offended His holiness. I mean, I felt like it was like my whole heart was on trial before God and He was exposing me. And I would just, Lord, and I believed He forgave it all. And I wanted to, and then I would remember what He did on the cross for all that I had done wrong. And then, after I had taken the Lord's Supper and I had repented and I knew I was clean and I remembered what He had done on Calvary, then I would pull out my list of names and I couldn't hold against them what they had done to me. I couldn't. Wow. And then I would begin to pray for them. And God began to give me an empathy for them. And He showed me more and more how they were not the enemy, but they were victims of the enemy. That Satan had blinded their eyes. The same blind spots that I had walked in, the same guardrails that I had from tradition and religion and indoctrination growing up, the same places where I had played it safe and it was more comfortable for me to walk in my tradition than to believe that what the Scripture said was really the way God wanted to move. And the reason He wasn't moving that way in my life was because, well, maybe He just doesn't do that anymore. It was honestly an excuse for me to hide in. I wasn't paying the price to see God move like that in my life. It was an exposure to me. And so as I prayed for them, I began to see that the same blind places that they were living under was no different than the blind places I lived under, where they were offended with me and believed that it was right, was no different than when I was offended with my mom and believed I was right. It's no different.
It's powerful.
And so Sabrina Miller, mm-hmm. when she made this statement, she was speaking to our staff, and she said this, and she spoke at one of our conferences, and this was a tag phrase that we took from her, and it says that we must forgive everyone, everything, every time. Must forgive everyone, everything, every time. We have no right to hold against others what God has not held against us. Mm-hmm. And I began to realize the places where I was not moving forward in my own walk were places that I had offense. Mm-hmm. So we decided to make our theme unoffendable.
Ooh,
that year.
Good.
Right?
Yeah.
That we would choose every day to be unoffendable. And then we get a year from hell. And every offense that you can imagine would come against us.
Oh, man.
Being misunderstood, mm-hmm. lies spoken about our character, people assaulting the ministry, and not being able to step out and correct the wrongs. Mm-hmm. Because forgiveness says, I don't get a right to correct all of their wrongs. I don't get to hold them accountable to every place where they have come against me. But I trust that God is my defense. And it is more wise to keep my mouth closed and to go to my knees than it is to publicly make a spectacle that will defame the gospel. Mm-hmm. Because there's a watching world.
Yeah.
Right? And most of the world that's watching us are not born again.
Right.
And as they watch us and they see these differences in the church, and I knew the people coming against me were believers, it is so much easier when they're lost.
Mm. Right.
Because if they're lost, they're just blinded by the enemy.
Yeah.
If they're lost, they just don't understand the gravity of what they're doing. Mm. They're a pawn in Satan's hand to move it whichever direction he would choose. But when you know that they belong to Jesus, mm-hmm. and they come after you, mm-hmm. and you know that they belong to Jesus and you have fellowship with them, and you know that they know the gospel, and that one day you're going to be sitting at a banquet table and you'll probably be sitting beside them.
Yeah.
You'll be sitting beside the people that you believe have tried to destroy you here. Mm-hmm. And they're going to heaven too.
Yeah.
And God's not going to hold against them what he doesn't right, hold against you.
You know, I think about what you said, the power of if we look at them and say, this is not the person that I'm battling.
Mm.
It's still not flesh and blood,
right?
That we're battling. It's wherever their blind spots and guardrails are up that they don't even see it. And I think we get in that mode of, like you're saying, if it's a Christian person, a believer, you know, it's hard, the hardest to battle when we feel like it is, I mean, and when I say battle, I mean in prayer, we are not taking it on ourselves, but when we are laying it down, man, it is to not see them in their human form,
right?
But to see them as spirit, and to what greater love. I mean, you're laying down your life when you're doing that. When you have laid down yourself, you have laid down your life for that person.
What does it say in Galatians 2:20? I'm crucified in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Mm-hmm. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live for the Son of God.
Yeah.
Right? We are called to, you know, Luke 9:23, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Deny yourself. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. Take up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
That Jesus spoke this to his disciples before he'd ever gone to the cross. The only reference to the cross there was culturally at that time was criminals being crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, receive the persecution of a criminal, and come follow me. Mm. We don't get a right to defend ourselves. We don't get the rights to say you're not allowed. And now, culturally, our culture moves differently.
Yes.
Our culture is saying, well, you have a right to set the record straight.
Right.
You have a right to tell them that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. You have a right to live how you want to live. You have a right to slam them the way they're slamming you. But that's just not what the Bible teaches us.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. Forgiveness is the hardest thing in the world to walk out biblically. But it is the one thing that I believe is a key to unlocking everything that God has for us.
And it's not just about saying, I forgive that person.
No, no. So there's a few things that I've done with forgiveness. Is number one is I do have to maybe say 50 times a day, I forgive them, I forgive them, I forgive them.
Yes.
Forgive
them. Mm-hmm.
So it's you have to say it. Mm-hmm. The second thing is praying for them. Mm-hmm. Praying for your enemies, that's what the Bible commands us to do. Here's a third thing is, and you don't always get to do this, but 99% of the time when I've had somebody do me wrong, mm-hmm. and I ask the Holy Spirit, what does he want my response to be? Mm-hmm. He will tell me to serve them. Mm-hmm. There's something about serving your enemy, mm-hmm. blessing your enemy in a way that puts you beneath them. Mm-hmm. Where you humble yourself to them and you serve them and you bless them, that it releases something off of you. Mm-hmm. And that is the place that God has had me. He's had me send money to my enemies. Mm-hmm. Bless them above and beyond what I believe they deserve. Mm-hmm. Because all money belongs to him. All my money belongs to Jesus. If he tells me to give it to my enemy, mm-hmm. then I give it to my enemy.
Yeah.
He's had me write letters telling them, I love you, I forgive you, I'm for you, I'm praying for you, and I don't hold anything against you. Releasing them from the right to hold them accountable for what they did to me.
Yeah.
He's had me literally ask them, how can I serve you? What can I bring you today? That would bless you. Can I bring you coffee? Can I add value to your ministry or your family? And what I've discovered is when I will obediently step into what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do for my enemy, mm-hmm. opposed to just looking at them with this venom, resentment that how dare they do. And listen, people can hurt us. Mm-hmm. Betrayal is real. Yeah. It is a sucker punch that takes the wind out of us. When people lie to us, to our faces, or lie about us and gossip about us or slander us, and we know that they know better. Mm-hmm. It is hurtful. When people choose to, you know, I've just walked through this with my father. His last words in his suicide letter to me was he didn't want me at his funeral. And he the last words he said to me is he wanted his last name back. He completely disowned me. Mm. And he was the one that had sinned against me, mm-hmm. when I was young. Mm-hmm. And God still says, because this is what unforgiveness does. Unforgiveness holds us in a prison.
Right.
Unforgiveness locks us in where we are immovable to the purpose that God created us for. Mm-hmm. It makes us doubt the goodness of God toward us. Mm-hmm. Unforgiveness says, I refuse to offer to somebody else what was freely given to me.
Yeah.
And it is the one sin that Jesus said, if you can't forgive, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you. There is no other place in Scripture where he says, I won't forgive you.
Yeah.
Except that you would not forgive your enemy. Mm. We don't have a choice.
Yeah. I think of a book that I read years ago by Catherine Marshall. And in there, she talked about having gone through a period of time where there had been some people talking about her, and she had come through. She and her husband, her husband was a minister. He died fairly young. This was in like the 40s and 50s. And he died fairly young. She published his sermons, but also felt a call to begin to write and to kind of step out into her own. Well, it was people talking about a woman's place mm-hmm. in ministry. And I mean, and this was years ago, even though we encounter that sometimes today. But she had a man come to their house. She had remarried at this point, and a minister came, and they were talking about forgiveness. And he said, you know, the scripture that whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, mm-hmm. and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He said, I apply that to forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And that if I am unforgiving and if I'm holding offense against someone, I have bound them on earth. And that binds the hands of heaven. And this, go with me on the illustration here, but when I loose them on earth, I have loosed the bands of heaven to be able mm-hmm. to go to work for them and to say, I'm taking myself off the judgment seat.
Oh, that's good.
It's letting God on the judgment seat and not me. But it's releasing them so that you don't carry the judgment. And I thought that was really powerful.
That is really good. Well, it's releasing control. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's, Satan holds us hostage in unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we all of a sudden become self-righteous in unforgiveness. Yeah. And here's the thing is, sometimes we're done really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is unjust. Sometimes it is unfair. Yeah. Sometimes we're misunderstood. Those are real things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people really, really hurt us. Mm-hmm. And it's so counterintuitive to our makeup mm-hmm. to just let that go. We feel like somewhere in us that we have to make it right.
Yeah.
Because I think it really threatens our sense of acceptance, belonging. It's like this level of rejection
mm-hmm.
that we feel like, well, that's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always come from the motive of our heart, what we think to be the motive of our heart,
mm-hmm.
right? But we know in the book of Jeremiah that our heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who knows it?
Yeah.
We don't even know our own heart. But we always come from this perspective of, but I did it right.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And we feel so misunderstood when we are done wrong. And somewhere we feel like we have to set the record straight. And until we do, we can't actually release it.
Yeah.
But the truth is, we will never be free until we release it.
Mm-hmm.
We will never be in position for God to promote us until we release it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never receive the blessing that God wants to give us, whether that's healing. I mean, there's medical evidence that those that set in bitterness, that it actually affects you so much emotionally that it moves physically, high blood pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of like health risk even in unforgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like a gall of bitterness that rises up in us, and before we know it, the person that it's not even about that person anymore. We are so bitter that we are blinded by our bitterness, and we will never move in the purpose God has for us in that.
And I think sometimes don't we get, we put it aside maybe, and then we go on about our lives until something happens and we trigger a, like that, you know, that we raise up and, you know, something happens and you get mad over something and you think, where'd that come from? But I think there are times where that goes back to there's been unforgiveness still
mm-hmm.
that you have never dealt with and you just thought it was gone. You know, I mean, I had that happen to a person that did something to my son who I thought I had forgiven until I was sitting in a restaurant and saw them walk in. And I hadn't had to think about them.
That's the real test,
yes,
isn't it?
For about 5 or 6 years. Actually, it's probably a little longer than that. And so I haven't had to even, you know, think. Yeah, and when they walked in, I thought, if they walk by me, it was like this split second thought. If they walk by me, I'm going to say something. Because I thought, we're years removed. Now I feel, you know, it's not going to bother my son to say. And I thought, what on earth? Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? You know, oh, man.
Yeah. I've actually turned red and started shaking and had a physical response to being around someone that had so done me wrong. Mm-hmm. And I have to talk to them. And I don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with them. Yeah. I don't want to have any. And that's when I know, Peggy, you have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've not let go.
Yeah.
You haven't really forgiven.
Yeah.
Because when we forgive, I can look at them and I can bless them because I don't see them through offense anymore.
Yeah.
Offense is the filter, right? That's the thing that when we still have unforgiveness, we see through a filter of offense.
Mm-hmm.
And until we move to a place that we have forgiven somebody, that filter will not be removed.
Mm, that's good. And rejection.
And rejection.
You mentioned rejection.
Yeah, rejection is, I've had to look at rejection and say, rejection is not my enemy, but my friend.
Mm.
Because when I'm rejected, now just stay with me for a second because nobody embraces rejection. Rejection is hard. It's terrible. I hate it. But one day I sat down and I made a list of all the ways rejection had deepened my relationship with Jesus.
Mm.
And because I was walking through a season of a lot of rejection from, I'm probably still in that season, with a lot of rejection from meaningful people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
People that weren't supposed to reject me. People that were supposed to be my tribe.
Mm.
Right? People that I was supposed to belong to.
Yeah.
And the Lord began to show me how He has used rejection to shape me.
Mm.
He's used rejection to deepen my relationship with Him. He's used rejection to teach me how to pray. He's used rejection to unearth the places in me where I want to reject.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rejection exposes our insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Rejection exposes the motive of our heart in areas that we didn't think we were that way. Rejection says that it tells us that there's something wrong with us. And Jesus is saying, you're supposed to be different.
Mm.
You're supposed to look different, talk different, act different. And I'm talking about rejection in the sense of unjust rejection.
Yes, right.
Right. I mean, if I'm out there, you know, and I'm doing things to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I mean, that's also the thing, right, is that when you carry a spirit of rejection,
mm-hmm.
you reject people that are there to love you and to care for you. That's been sent by God to be a part of your inner circle, and you reject it because you're actually given to fear, because it never stops, right?
Right.
Unforgiveness never stops with unforgiveness. Rejection never stops with rejection. Fear never stops with fear. It all goes back to this belief system that we can't trust God with our relationships. We can't trust God for people to accept us the way He's accepted us. And ultimately, we come to this place of, well, even God rejects me if everybody else does. So I see that unforgiveness is the open door for the enemy to plot against every other relationship in your life.
Mm. Wow.
It just starts there. It never ends there.
Yeah.
And that's why it moves to this place of bitterness, that if you continue to walk in unforgiveness, if you continue to see yourself as rejected, then it changes your belief system even about God.
Mm. Wow. What do we do if we're not ready to do the third step of reaching out and serving them or asking, you know, how do we get there?
Well, lots of tears and lots of on your face with Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's not an easy way there. There's not a way to get there dignified. Let me say it that
That's
way.
That's a good way to put that, yeah.
You get there by dying to yourself. Mm-hmm. You get there by every day choosing, God, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. God, give me your eyes for that person. God, give me your heart for that person. God, expose my blind spots. What do I not see? God, would you change me first? Change me first. Give me a love for them.
Yeah.
You love them.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, sometimes when I think about unforgiveness, you know, there's stories that I've heard of people that have gone to murderers that have raped mm-hmm. and murdered their children. Mm-hmm. And the parents, you know, they're sitting, I know you've heard these stories, where they're sitting at the parole hearing mm-hmm. and the parole board is there, and this person will sit there and they will say, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. And you ever just wonder, how did they ever get to the place where they could say, I forgive you? Because somewhere along the way, they gave up their rights to be the judge. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the way, something bigger took hold of their heart. Mm-hmm. I would say Jesus, the Spirit of God. Yeah. I don't think you can do it apart from the Spirit of God. Yeah. But I think that rejection, and it drives us to a place where we can forgive. Mm-hmm. It forces us to those places that we would never go. Unforgiveness forces us to go deep with Jesus in a place that we would never walk with him. Mm-hmm. Jesus was rejected mm-hmm. over and over and over again. He was rejected by his church. Think about that. Mm-hmm. By the very people he came to redeem, he was rejected. We rejected Jesus.
Yeah.
We're guilty.
Yeah.
We are the rejectors. And so for me to look at someone that rejects me, or someone that, you know, has hurt me or betrayed me, you know, Jesus said that we are not greater than our master. Like if Jesus walked that journey, we will walk that journey too. And yet he still gave his life up for them. You know, a lot of times we don't want to give our life up for those that have hurt us. But I believe that is the power of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And if we want healing, when you want healing bad enough, mm-hmm. you'll press in hard enough.
That's right. That's right.
But sometimes we don't want healing. Mm-hmm. We have to ask ourselves, do we want to be healed? Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus asked the man that had the mat, do you want to be healed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he probably made a pretty good lifestyle. He probably had settled into his disability, mm-hmm. right? He was, his identity was he was a beggar. Mm-hmm. He had an identity with his lifestyle mm-hmm. that he had grown accustomed to. And so Jesus didn't inflict healing on him,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Jesus said, do you want to be healed? Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to unforgiveness, mm-hmm. the same question, do we want to be restored? Mm-hmm. Do we want to be healed? Mm-hmm. Do we want to be free? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've talked with people and they just don't. Mm. Because they have come to the conclusion that they won't let go of the offense. Mm. I'm just telling you that you'll never be free until you do. Mm. And you'll never walk in the purpose and the destiny God has called you to until you let go.
There, and if you think that you are walking in it, you may be walking in a part of it, a parcel
right.
of it, but there's no fullness.
There's no fullness.
No, no.
There will be places that you can't go where Jesus wants to take you
yeah.
until you let go.
Yeah.
And there will be things you will not be able to receive from him. Mm-hmm. I have been praying for people, and as I'm praying over them, and they're asking for healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or they are asking for, you know, they're asking God for something, and it looks like they're desperate for it.
Yeah.
And I believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit will say to me, there's a fence.
Mm.
And I don't know how many times I've been praying for someone and the Holy Spirit will say that to me, and I'll look at them and I'll say, is there anyone that you haven't forgiven? And they bust out crying. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe in that moment, they weren't thinking about that person mm-hmm. because they had gotten used to living with the offense. Yeah. But now they've come to a place where the Holy Spirit is wanting to do something bigger in their life. Mm-hmm. It's the promotion moments. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit shows them again, you have to deal with this before I can give you more.
Yeah.
You have to deal with this offense before you can be blessed in the way that I want to bless you. So it's not that we can't go on with our life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can. Mm-hmm. And we can try to put it aside and not think about it and think that we can keep going. And for seasons, I think we can. Mm-hmm. There are seasons that, you know, we can still grow in other areas of our life spiritually. Mm-hmm. But there
God's grace.
It's grace. It is the grace
yes,
of God.
Yes.
But there will always be a place of confrontation with that mm-hmm. for the Lord to take you further. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. As a Christian, why would I want to live with known sin? Mm-hmm. Why would I not want for the great physician to do surgery on my heart? Mm-hmm. Why do I want to hold on to my rights there? Mm-hmm. I mean, somewhere we have to ask the question is, what's going on with us spiritually that we're not ready?
Yeah.
What are you holding on to that you're unwilling to let go of? And why are you unwilling to let go of it? Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of thinking that Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Even I remember in the story about the beggar at the gate where mm-hmm. he was calling out, and that's when Jesus said, what do you want me to do? And to us, it's obvious. Well, he's blind. He's begging. He needs to be healed, you know, but that's where Jesus is calling us out. If we have our backpack filled mm-hmm. with all the things and the weights we're carrying from whatever it is, the offense, unforgiveness, it's like webbed together. And we're carrying that behind us, the weight of that. I think you're right that we get comfortable mm-hmm. in a really odd way, but we get comfortable with, it's kind of like people that we know that are, they live in a dysfunctional, stressed out, chaotic kind of world, but that is now their norm.
Right.
And so they're so comfortable with the chaos that they wouldn't hardly know how to function without it. Mm-hmm. Some people, I think, feel that way about their pain that they've carried.
Yeah. Well, it's become a part of their identity. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe, that this is where strongholds come in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These are places that within our soul, our mind, will, and emotion, that the enemy, it's almost like a landmine, mm-hmm. and he plants it there. Mm-hmm. And typically, right, it starts when we're young. You know, it starts, I mean, you can see it happening in marriages. You see it happening, you know, in workplace situations. Of course, the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a whole generation, you know, with church hurt, mm-hmm. you know, where they have had these spiritual authorities in their life that they have come to realize that they're not perfect. Mm-hmm. And they've been offended and hurt because they expected something different from them. Mm-hmm. Or they found out that everybody's a sinner. Mm-hmm. And that person has hurt them, or maybe that person has just intentionally hurt them, mm-hmm. right? But when we open that door to hold on to that pain, to hold on to that unforgiveness, to hold on to the offense or the rejection or the betrayal, whatever it is that we are guarding with all of our life, mm-hmm. we may be able to continue to move for a season not dealing with it, but we will never graduate to what we're called to do or be. And so the enemy will take that one little spot, and it never stays a little spot. It's like cancer. Mm-hmm. It gets tentacles mm-hmm. and it grows. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, it's taking other places of your soul. Mm-hmm. It never stays small. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we really have to be cautious of here is when we say, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
Is that, well, your not readiness here will grow. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if we have cancer in our body, mm-hmm. and the doctor says, listen, we can treat it, mm-hmm. but we're going to have to do some radical chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go all in, but I believe you'll live, and I believe we can get it all, mm-hmm. but you're going to have to deal with it. We wouldn't sit there and be like, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready to deal with it right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to continue to let it grow a little more. Yeah. And
I feel pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I don't feel bad.
Yeah,
I understand right. what you're saying, but I've lived long enough with it that, and your doctor's sitting there saying, listen, what you need to know is this is going to kill you. Mm-hmm. It will destroy your faith.
Yeah.
If we don't deal with it.
Yeah.
And what's your choice?
Yeah.
And I have come to realize there are a lot of people that would tell the doctor, I'm good. Because what happens is when we get offended, what do? Well, we have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And we have to tell all of our friends the way that we were done wrong. Mm-hmm. And we surround ourselves with a group of people that hear one side of the story that reaffirm the lie, the story we're telling ourselves. Mm. They justify the offense. Mm. And we have to purge ourselves of that. Mm. God has made me stop talking about those that have done me wrong. Mm. He's made me silence my mouth because the more that I talk, the more justified I feel. And it's actually a lie. It's not the truth. I'm not justified in my offense. Nowhere in Scripture can we find a place where we are justified in our offense. We don't get a B. So we have to, that's where gossip, we have to really purge it and being self-defensive, like where we try to explain to everybody else why they did us wrong and why we were really right and they were wrong. Mm-hmm. We have to stop that. We have to stop defending our position in it. Mm-hmm. We give up our rights. Mm. And then we have to...
Well, and don't you feel like, too, that causes other people to take the offense on themselves?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I'll
we
get
spread
more
it.
Upset over something that was done wrong to somebody else, mm-hmm. even versus what somebody did to me. I think, oh, that's awful, and I come to their rescue. I'm not rescuing that person.
Mm-mm. No. Well, and that's how the enemy wins, right?
Yeah.
So now... Not only do I have offense, mm-hmm. I have gifted you with offense.
Wow.
Really, it's toxic thinking. It's toxic talking. It's a toxic heart. Mm-hmm. And the responsibility of a good friend is to look at that person and say, listen, I know you were done wrong, and I'm so sorry that this has happened to you. Mm-hmm. But I love you too much to let you set in unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. Can we stop and pray for the person that's done you wrong? Because Jesus wants to do a work in you, and he wants to do a work in them. Let's don't be the barricade to what God wants to do in them or in you. And let's stop this from happening to someone else. That's a good friend. That's a friend that says, I am so sorry, and they empathize with where you're at, because it's real pain.
Sure.
Right. I mean, when we are betrayed and we are sucker punched and we are done wrong, I don't know how many times I have sat crying, just hurt. Mm-hmm. It's real. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we act like that's not real. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I'm not saying to forgive is that you don't grieve the loss of something here. You know, there is a grief and a loss that comes with being done wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, you are in some ways disillusioned mm-hmm. at the relationship you thought you had to what it really is. And that disillusionment is powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, you feel there's a confusion that comes over us mm-hmm. of we just can't believe that they would do this.
Yeah.
And that they would allow, and even the disillusionment, why would God allow this? Mm-hmm. Why didn't God stop this? And there's a test of trust in this with God. Mm-hmm. Can you trust God with your pain?
Yeah.
Can you trust him to do what's right with those that have hurt you? Mm-hmm. And in that, I think a good friend... Mm-hmm. would come alongside you and say, oh, let me tell you, he's trustworthy. and remind you of all the places where he's been good to you. Mm-hmm. Remind you of all the places where God has leveraged your pain in the past for his glory. Mm-hmm. That they would come alongside you and encourage you to walk in freedom.
Yeah.
Like, I think a good friend should always be there to help fight for the freedom of those in their life. Mm-hmm. But you can only fight for other people's freedom when you have fought for it in your own life.
Yeah.
You know, I recognize when someone comes to me and they have unforgiveness, mm-hmm. I call it out. Mm-hmm. Now, not in a, psh, don't you, you can't do that. You know, not in a, yeah. not in a mean way, but yeah. because I've walked in unforgiveness, mm-hmm. because I know the power of unforgiveness, because I have been held hostage in unforgiveness, I know the dark place that it will take your soul. Mm-hmm. And so a good friend is going to help you fight through it.
Yeah.
And
boy, that's powerful to remember. That's a great, it's like a great alternate part of this whole lesson is the friend, the person that you want to be, that walks beside the person that's grieving, that's hurting, that's shame-filled, that's been rejected.
Mm.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Well, and that's how we change our culture. That's how we change the church.
Yeah.
That's how we put Jesus at the center again.
Mm-hmm.
When we are the friend that agrees with the injustice and takes the offense with them, then we are now on the same plan of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Kill, steal, destroy. Mm-hmm. We've just jumped on board and we're in for the ride. And now we're offended and we're hating that person too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the whole thing that's happening within our culture. I mean, it's we cancel people out.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? It's a spirit of offense.
Yeah.
Somebody gets offended and they rally a crowd to cancel that person.
Yeah.
Well, why aren't we thinking about that person being blinded by the enemy?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we thinking about that person might actually be being held hostage by the enemy?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't our responsibility to extend the love and the forgiveness of Jesus even to them as it was extended to us?
Mm-hmm.
So there is something powerful about holding people accountable to forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as a church as a whole, a Big C church, mm-hmm. we haven't done that.
I agree.
And I don't think that I was ever taught to do that.
I don't either. I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk about the if you're the friend of the person. I don't think I've ever heard that. Other than to say don't gossip, but you know, we think of gossip as I'm talking about somebody else that not necessarily about being offended, but just, you know, we think, oh, we're talking about that person.
Right.
Not about the actual in the framework of unforgiveness, because that's just as much gossip, but it's just we frame it differently. We think of gossip as something different.
Well, and we think of gossip as everybody else's sin, but not ours.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We can think in our mind that people are like, yeah, they're not a vault.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty loose with their tongue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know that if we are around them, we'll hear stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And typically what we do, right, and I'm guilty of this also, is I just don't say anything. I don't agree with them. I don't disagree. I just kind of back off. I don't even hold them accountable half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place the Lord has really convicted me of. That is my personal responsibility as a believer and a disciple of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
is to bring accountability. It's our job to raise the spiritual temperature in every relationship in our life.
Mm-hmm.
It's our job. It's not the pastor's job. It's not other people's job. It's my job. So if I recognize gossip, it's my job to stop it,
mm-hmm.
because there's somebody's reputation that's being defamed,
mm-hmm.
and I'm siding with the enemy. I hate Satan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give him the upper hand in any relationship in my life.
Yeah.
So when I participate with these things, when I stay silent in these things, mm-hmm. then I am affirming the works of darkness.
Mm.
And I don't want to be a part of that.
No. Mm.
I know that sounds extreme, but I think it's actually the truth.
I think it's very much the truth. And I think if we realize that, the sooner we recognize it and we can put a stop to it, in our own lives, obviously, first. And then as the iron sharpens iron with our friends, that we can lovingly come beside them,
mm-hmm.
and we can point out things in a loving way. It's not, we're still not putting ourselves on any throne above another.
Right, right.
You know, but.
Well, I typically come to him not above, but like, listen, this is going to get, it'll get way worse because I've been a little lower than you.
Yeah.
I've been to really dark places in this and I don't want that for you.
Yeah.
And you know,
because that's love.
That is love. Mm-hmm. And I've had people do that to me. Mm-hmm. I've had women step into my life and lovingly confront my blind spots, lovingly look at me and say, Peggy, I believe that you're believing a lie. Can I share with you what I believe the truth really is here? Mm-hmm. And exposing the lie that I have justified or painting another picture. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one of the things I love to say is that there's always two stories over our life. Mm-hmm. The story that we see and the story that God is writing. Mm-hmm. And when we only live our life with our story, our narrative, our script, we really are, it's not going to go well. And we will be blinded to the things of God. But if I can pause wherever I'm at and or have people in my life, God has gifted me with really good people in my life that will come alongside me. And they see the story God's writing over my life. God has given them a window into that. Mm-hmm. And they begin to call that forth in me. And when they bring my eyes to his story, I can't be okay with my story anymore. Well, I don't want my story, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I really want the story he's writing. It's more beautiful. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. It really helps put into perspective everything that feels wrong. In closing, I just want to encourage you that no matter how deeply you have been hurt, I want to encourage you that the grace of God and the love of God is sufficient to wash over that pain. And more than anything else, you can trust a faithful God to walk you through valley of the shadow moments, moments of deep hurt he wants to bring healing to. And more than anything, it is the heart of the Father that we are reconciled to him and to others. And so I would just encourage you, whatever you do, fight for your freedom to walk free from unforgiveness. God bless you.